Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get more on the Indians, and we find out what's going on. Filling in for Mandy Bell this weekend, covering the Indians, is Mark Feinstein from MLB.com, and he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Very intimidating job to have to fill in for Mandy.
Well, I mean, that's a big, big place for you to do that. Didn't you train her in the beginning? You showed her the ropes, didn't you?
We helped her. We helped her for sure. She's she has blossomed into quite a beat writer, and we're very happy with everything she's doing. It's great.
Three home runs in the first inning, Mark. How's that for a welcoming to the Bronx for the Indians? Big series and a great start.
I'd say the Indians are probably pretty happy with that, too. It was sort of a, Tad Green out there as the opener, and he's had really good success in that role for the Yankees to the point where, people are talking about whether the Yankees should do that in a playoff game. And then all of a sudden last night, he just didn't have it. A couple singles, a walk, and all of a sudden, he strikes out Santana and, Puig, and you start to feel in the stadium, people are like, oh, he's going to get out of this. And then all of a sudden, Jose Ramirez says, no, he's not. So, 7 runs in the first inning and the stadium just had sort of the life sucked out of it. And, the Indians just piled on after that. It was a pretty impressive performance.
Mark, what do you think of the concept of the opener? You know, the guy who goes out, starts the game, and then he's out of there quickly.
I think for teams that don't have strong starting rotations, and I'm not talking about the Yankees. I think the Yankees' rotation is pretty good. Right now, Sabathia is on DL, IL, sorry. So, they're having to do what they have to do through injuries and stuff. Tampa Bay was the team that really made it popular. And I remember last year on their depth chart at one point, they had one starting pitcher. So it was more out of necessity than anything else. I think it's a strategy that can work if you have a deep bullpen, if you have a guy, because usually after the opener comes in sort of that long reliever type who then, you're hoping to get 4 innings out of. And if you have a guy who can do that, great. I think the idea of starting a good reliever against the top of the lineup so that you don't have, some sort of mediocre arm facing, the 1-4 hitters, it makes some sense. But I think, you'd rather be in a situation like the Astros where you can just throw out Verlander, Cole, Greinke, and Wade Miley every, 4 out of every 5 days.
Yeah, but you got to.
Sanchez is pitching pretty well, too.
Mark, you got to believe the owners love it and wish it would be a trend moving forward. I would say, especially for small market teams, because it doesn't cost as much to pay for a guy called pitcher rather than starter or closer, right?
Yeah, that's true. Although, you know what? There are plenty of starting pitchers out there who are on pretty team-friendly contracts. I mean, look at what Wade Miley is doing for the Astros this year. Any team in baseball could have paid him what he's making this year. So, if you have a good enough scouting department and analytics department, you can identify some guys who you think are going to be quality starting pitchers. There are pitchers out there to be had, especially the way the free agent market's gone the past few years. Certainly you're never going to see a guy who's an opener making $18 million a year the way you do a lot of starters. But it's also the question is how many days a week can you go with an opener? How many pitchers do you have to have in your bullpen to be able to employ that strategy routinely? You can't pitch your whole bullpen every day. So, small market teams certainly would like that, but there's certainly still a great value in having a great starting pitcher who will go out there and give you 7 or 8 every time out.
Mark, it wasn't too long ago the Indians were 11 games out, and people are thinking, man, can they even make a run at the wild card? Well, here they are, battling for the division, and I won't say sitting pretty for the wild card, but certainly in better shape than they ever were before. What are your thoughts on the Indians and how they sit in the American League right now compared to some of the other playoff teams?
I think they're in pretty good shape, honestly, because if you look at them, their lineup is looking great. And not only have they added Puig and added Reyes, who I think will hit, but they've added Jose Ramirez. And when you look at what he did in the first 2 to 3 months of the season, they were essentially without, their second best hitter, who was just terrible those first 2 months. And really for 3 months, I think he's hitting about .210 at the end of June, with 5 home runs. So, the fact that he's been able to find it and turn it on. He's got 14 home runs since the end of June, and he's got an OPS over 1,000 during that stretch. And, you know, that's adding an MVP-caliber player to a lineup in addition to the other changes he made. And, you know, I talked to a lot of executives around the league about the Bauer trade when it happened. I've talked to him in the week since. And unanimously, they all said it made sense for Cleveland because it wasn't like they were trading him off for prospects. If they had traded him for Taylor Trammell, then people would have raised their eyebrows and said, well, but they're in this race this year. Instead, they brought in Puig, they brought in Reyes, and the idea was they're going to make their team better this year. Get to the wild card game, you need one pitcher. Well, they've got plenty of guys to choose from there. It could be Bieber, it could be Kluber, you know, Clevenger, whoever it may be. You win that game, assuming you're playing in that game, you get to a division series, and you need three or four starters. And if Kluber's healthy, and you've got Kluber and Bieber and Clevenger, and maybe Carrasco's back, or maybe Salazar's back, whoever it may be, you've got plenty of arms there, too. So, you know, they dealt from a position of strength, not only actual position, but, you know, knowing what Bauer's contract was going to look like and being able to bolster their lineup. You know, I don't know that they're the best team in the American League because I think the Astros still hold claim to that, with the Yankees trailing, you know, probably as close second, but I don't think they're too far off.
Mark Feinstein, joining us from MLB.com on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Corey Kluber could be back before we know it. So supposed to start again this weekend for Columbus. What would he mean for the Indians down the stretch here, and how does that change the dynamic of what people believe the Indians can do in the playoffs?
Oh, he would mean everything. I mean, you know, again, when you have that guy who every fifth day you can send out there feeling like we're going to win that game. You know, if we get him four runs, we're going to win that game. That's a huge advantage to have. The Yankees don't have that guy right now. As good as the Yankees are, they don't have that one dominant guy. Severino was that guy, but he hasn't thrown a pitch this year. You know, Tanaka is a really good pitcher and has a really good postseason pedigree, but, you know, we also saw him go out and give up like seven runs in the first two innings a couple weeks ago. So those games are there. Kluber is a guy who, you know, when the other team sees him penciled into the lineup, you know, penciled at the bottom of that lineup card, they know they have a long day ahead of them. And, you know, he would obviously be a huge help for them in terms of getting to the playoffs, trying to win the Central. And then once they get there, you know, again, he's that presence at the top of the rotation that you really need, and you pair him with Bieber and what Clevenger's doing this year. That's, you know, it's not Verlander, Cole, and Greinke, but it's better than the first three starters on the Yankees rotation, that's for sure.
Mark Feinstein joining us, MLB.com. We've been kicking around the idea here that maybe Yasiel Puig could be more than just a late-season rental for the Indians. What do you think he commands on the open market next year, Mark?
Interesting question. I think, you know, a lot of it will depend on kind of what he does here. You know, what is he? He's 28 years old. He's going to be 29 in December. So you have to figure he's looking at the 4-year deal, 5-year deal. I mean, we don't see deals longer than that typically, other than, you know, what we saw this winter with Harper and Machado. You really don't see anything more than 5 at this point. So, you know, say 4 or 5 years, probably, you know, $20 million a year or something in that range. I mean, he's not going to be cheap, especially if, put it this way, if he has a really strong finish with the Indians, has a big season, and they want him back, it's going to be because he played well. And if he plays well down the stretch, he's not going to be cheap. So, you know, it's interesting. You look at his numbers, he's not a guy who's put up 30 and 100 every year. His career high in home runs is 28. His career high in RBI is 74. But he's a consistent 800-plus, you know, OPS guy. And I think, you know, I think somewhere in that $15 to $20 million range is probably where he looks. But I'm not a GM. There's, you know, we've seen before where we thought players were going to command X number of dollars, and then they've, you know, had to settle for, you know, 60% of X. So a lot of it will depend on how the market plays out. This is not a very strong free agent market, though. So if teams have money to spend, then there's a chance that they spend it on, you know, on guys who otherwise in a deeper market might not have been there. When you look at the free agent market this year, Puig is probably somewhere in that 10 to 20 range of you know, maybe 10 to 15 range of the free agent class. But ahead of him, there really isn't a whole lot in the outfield. So teams looking for outfielders, you've got Castellanos, you've got Ozuna, and really that's it. So, you know, he's going to be one of the three or four most sought-after outfielders this winter.
Mark, when we talk about Francisco Lindor around here, I think people are trying to enjoy the moment, the way Paul Dolan said in the beginning of the season, you know, enjoy him while you got him. Is there any way he stays with the Indians long term past this contract? And we're sitting around here trying to figure out how Lindor can stay and how they can do the money and how they can try to figure this out. Or is it just destiny that Lindor ends up with a big market team?
Well, I won't say that he ends up with a big market team, only because we've seen some small market teams give out big contracts.
Good point, Mark.
You look at, Zach Greinke has the biggest annual average contract in history, and he signed with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So I do think it is destiny that he will not be a Cleveland Indian for his whole career, just because, when you see a team looking to trade Bauer because they're worried about the hit he's going to take for 1 year next year, it's hard to imagine they're going to go out and give anybody a $300 million contract. Now, they may decide their best business is to invest that money in Lindor. He's a franchise player. He's the face of the franchise. He's popular. Everybody loves him. And he's the guy who, even in bad times, people will want to come see. Maybe that's a decision they make. But just looking at it from the financial standpoint of how the Indians tend to operate and how they've operated in the past, it's just difficult to believe they're going to go out and give give him $300 million, and you'd have to think that barring some, horrific injury or something like that, he's going to command $300 million or more.
Mark, who do you like out of the American League to get to the series?
It's hard not to like Houston just with that big three at the top of the rotation and the lineup that they have. I have some questions about their bullpen. I don't love it. I mean, Ryan Pressly was incredible for a really long stretch. He's had a couple of bumps lately. I don't know if I really trust Osuna in a huge spot in the postseason. So they have some question marks. I think there are question marks about every one of the contenders in the AL. If you could tell me that the Yankees would just get representative starting pitching, I'm not talking about top level, but if their starters could go out there and give them 5 to 6 innings of 3-run ball in the playoffs, I think the Yankees are the favorite. Because I think they have the best lineup, they have by far the best bullpen, and if they can actually get Luis Severino and Dellin Betances back in September and have them, even at 85% come October, that's going to be two huge weapons for them. So, Houston on paper looks like the favorite. I do like the Yankees, but like I said, the Indians with their rotation and some of the pop they have in their lineup, I think they could make a run too. So I really think it's a wide, in Minnesota, you can't count them out either. So I really think it's a wide open in the American League. I know I didn't answer your question. I danced around it, and I'm not willing to commit to anybody, but if I had to say right now, I think you have to say the Astros.
That's what we would say too. Mark, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And we'll be reading your stuff this weekend at MLB.com. Thank you, Mark.
You got it, fellas. Take care.
Appreciate it, Mark.
Mark Feinstein from MLB.com. Joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.